Howdy and welcome to What's That Smell, the podcast. Well, I guess all these things are kind of related to photography in a way. I have an 11-year-old son who, for the life of me, cannot figure out how to thoroughly wipe himself. So then, to make it even better, what he does is he does an incomplete job of wiping and then tries to hide the underwear around the house. So it's like a poop Easter hunt, you know? It's like every day is like a poop Easter egg hunt in my house. What's that smell? I smell it, but I can't find it. And then eventually you stumble across of underwear shoved into a corner somewhere, and you ask him what the story is. But then again, maybe all little boys are like that. I don't remember doing anything like that in particular, but God love them. Welcome to the podcast. I got that off my dad chest, and my name is Mike, and this is a podcast on photography. Sometimes. Except when it's not. And today is not one of those days. Today is definitely a photography day. I don't do any gear reviews. I don't put commercials on this anymore, I don't believe. As far as I know, there's no commercials on this. I don't push any products. I'm not a pitch man. That's what, you know, McKinnon and all them are for, to sell gear. I had a weird thought that, in all honesty, I could go the rest of my life taking pictures and never show anybody any of those pictures. I would be perfectly okay with that as long as I had a little food to eat, which is, you know, today's topic is the exact opposite. TikTok's effect on modern photography, or as I like to call them, Instagram part two. TikTok, Instagram strikes back. You know, this is a natural, normal progression from where we were to where we are. And where we were manual cameras with film, and just at the burgeoning edge of digital cameras in the 80s and 90s, to where they took horrific, you know, pictures, but they were pretty amazing to us because they were instant. And, you know, we had never seen that before. I was never against it. You know, I didn't care how my pictures came out. I always cared about the picture. So when I'm walking around New Jersey, I'm walking around New York, I'm walking around San Antonio, Texas, or God knows where, Los Angeles, I just cared about my shot being the way I wanted it to be, which is stark contrast to TikTok, Instagram, and my personal favorite, that Samsung commercial that says create no matter what. So now they're turning us into some sort of factory assembly line of creators, which in a broader sense, you know, there was the industrial, and I've said this for a couple decades now, there was, you know, the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, the tech revolution, and what's next? I wholeheartedly believe, and I've been saying for at least 10 years, that the art revolution is going to be the next thing. What does that mean for us? That means that, and you're not going to like the way this sounds, but we are going to be more or less the court jesters to the 1%. We will compete for their money, their time, and their adoration through our art. Because at this point, the jobs are going away. The world is on fire. A cough can kill you. And, you know, a stalk of lettuce can poison your family. So where is it going to go? I don't know. And I kind of hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I sincerely know that I'm not. There is a revolution next. And I believe that art is it. Art, fashion, things like that. Entertainment, actors, models, dancers, comedians. Those are the people who are going to be the next factory workers. They're the people who are going to be the next office workers, if you will. When people started sitting at a desk back in the 80s, you know, everybody wanted, at the beginning, everybody got their own office. And then as people started to migrate to office work, then they changed it into cubicles. And then they changed it into like a warehouse model where everybody's just sitting in a room at a table in this little, you know, horse blinder thing, you know, working away the day. If you've ever worked telemarketing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Excuse me. And I think that's where the next revolution is going to go. Art. And I think TikTok and Instagram are really just a warm-up for the pitch. And I would really love to be wrong about that. I had to get comfortable in this chair. Now, what I've done, what I normally do, is I will put the TikTok app on my tablet for as long as I can handle it. Once it starts to get on my nerves, that's when I will uninstall the TikTok app and go about my life. Put that back down on the table. Because, I don't know. I've always been very, very, very concerned about the art side of it. How your image develops, whether it be a statue or painting or whatever it is. That's my concern. The story you're trying to tell, how you present the information. And with things like TikTok, it's more of that grind, stay on the grind, hustle culture. Sound familiar? Create, no matter what. And here are my personal favorites. Hi, I'm a photographer and I took this picture. That's all. You know what? And to watch other photographers, you know, and partly because of the pandemic, you know, there's really nothing, not a whole lot else to do. There isn't money coming in anywhere near where it used to be. To watch these guys crank these videos out, you know, 10, 11, 12, 15 videos a day, you know, just trying to create that content. And in the back of my mind, you know, I think of what the video guys say. The video guys have always said, show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. And you're making the same exact video that everybody else is making about the aperture 120D, the new mirrorless R whatever, you know, and every once in a while they'll sprinkle in a Hasselblad or two. The found film, which is really, really good. I like that. And then the film guys, and their 80s and 90s cameras, you know, they're all really just kind of imitating each other. And, you know, on one hand, yeah, I kind of want them to be as creative as they can. But then on the other hand, I know that you can't save every kitten. Some kittens are going to die. I may be one of those kittens, but I know for one thing, it takes one to know one. And if I can see for sure that you are not making wise choices with your photography business, then, you know, I can call it as I see it. I can call a spade a spade. And at this point, I've watched you do the same video 4 or 5 times today. And it's how much time did you not spend taking pictures? How much time did you not spend, you know, building up your portfolio, practicing your skills, taking self-portraits, which is immensely important, far more important than I ever imagined. Taking pictures of myself was both the most uncomfortable, enriching, and enlightening things that I've ever done in my life, educationally, because I had to focus a camera on my ugly face for 365 days as I waited for COVID to go away again so I could start my business finally. In the third year of my business, finally do a second grand opening. How much time are you devoting? And that's kind of the thing with photography. You're a one-man band. Like all these businesses that are one-man band businesses, you don't have the time to devote. If you're a carpenter, if you're a roofer, if you do sidewalks, you're a one-man band. You, your wife, and maybe a couple of your kids help you, and that's it. But most of the time, you're one-man band. If you have a wife and kids that help you. So this is a one-man band industry where it's just you and your tools. In our case, our cameras. So how much of that time that should be dedicated to being a one-man band, the 60 to 70 hours a week, is dedicated to making TikTok videos, is dedicated to Instagram, Facebook, or any form of social media? Because every time you swipe, a second goes by. It is an hourglass full of sand that you are swiping the grains of sand away. And 1 minute you're here, and then the sun is going down. And you're still on social media, checking your likes and your replies and your comments, which really just in our industry, you don't give a shit. If you're an actor, yeah, you care about who's looking at your stuff. If Dwayne The Rock Johnson notices your headshot, he's going to be like, oh shit, that's a nice picture. This kid looks like exactly who we need in this new movie. And that's how that life works, which they are also one-man bands that need our help immensely, the videographers and photographers. These actors, these new actors and actresses need us in a big way, especially after watching them try on YouTube and take selfies with the iPhones with that weird background blur and submit that to a casting agency. I know they're getting fucking sick of that at any casting agency. Really? An iPhone picture? And here's a call out to every photographer within earshot. If you are doing headshots for kids, actresses, actors, the first one's free. The first hit is always free. They're going to need hundreds and hundreds of headshots. So just give them the first one for free. See if you can work with them, and you'll find out two things. If you can work with them, or if you can work with them. And if you think they are going to go places or if they're not going to go places. And all it cost you was a couple hours and a couple shots, and you're not paying for prints. They pay for their own prints. That's a given. So give that first shot, that first headshot for free. Do me a solid. Give that one away. And if the kid turns out to be, you know, hot shit, then you're going to make a ton of money with them, and you're going to be one of their photographers. And it could be your way into a whole new lifestyle. If not, then you cut them loose. Hey, kid, you know, I hope you have a great long career, but I'm not going to be able to be your photographer. I wish you the best. Let me know if you need anything, but not really. And to watch and really the overarching theme of this is why I uninstall TikTok. But this thing where, and my second favorite, I'm going to post my pictures, quote, until they blow up. What? Wait. How are you, blow up where? When was the last time you saw a photograph on the internet go viral from a photographer? Got you on that one. From a photographer. It just doesn't happen. Annie Leibovitz, all these people, they don't go viral. Photographers are not millionaires for the most part. And photographers are not viral. We take still photos. What are you trying to go viral for? Until I blow up? Blow up what? You're not blowing up anything. You're feeding TikTok's machine is what you're doing. TikTok blows up because of you. I mean, and your eighth of a second flash pictures. It just flashes 15, 20 pictures on the screen in 45 seconds. No time to enjoy or take in the work or anything like that. Just a quick flash of 100 pictures that there's no way you're going to make sense of. But what are you going to do? Like I said before, excuse me, it takes all kinds. It literally takes all kinds. And professional photographers, much like many other industries, racing and whatnot, professional photographers make up probably less than 0.5% of the revenue of Canon, Nikon, Kodak, whoever, Samsung, less than 0.5%. 90% of their profit comes from people who will never take a pro photo. 90%. People who will use the camera a couple times a year until somebody steals it or they break it, they drop it, they brick the battery, and they say, oh, I'm going to get to it one day. You know, that's the truth. That is the truth. And that 0.5% that goes out and buys the $100,000 Hasselblad, yeah, they take all types of pictures, but they never go viral. The people they take pictures of go viral. That is our industry. That is who we are. That is what we do. When Demi Moore took that picture on Rolling Stone and then took the other one on Rolling Stone, that had nothing to do. Nobody knew who Annie Leibovitz was. When she did the picture of John Lennon and Yoko Ono, that nobody knew who, I knew I loved the picture, but at 11 years old, 12 years old, I had no idea who Annie Leibovitz was. She was always there in the background, and I always loved her pictures, but I didn't even know it until I was almost 50 years old. Oh, that's who took those pictures. That's who we are. There's a couple Saving Grace photography channels on TikTok where I forget the guy's name, Marco Robbie or something like that. He just talks about he's near the end of his career. He's just entering that Annie Leibovitz zone where, you know, I go out and shoot every once in a while. You know, I got some money stashed away until I'm dead and that's about it. But there's one guy, I forget his name. He just talks about some pictures that he took along his way while he was doing his thing. And that's it. That's all he does. He doesn't try and sell you light boxes or review your pictures or tell you whether your picture is fact or cap or good or bad or crap. They don't do any of that. That's all the consumer-based photography game. That has nothing to do with what we do. And you have to be very careful because I see some other channels who are actual photography businesses, and they're posting, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. How long does that take? You know, to shoot it, then shoot it again, then shoot it a third time, and then shoot it a fourth time because the light was bad or the audio dipped out on you. How much time does that really take in your day? Me personally, I mean, maybe I'm doing it wrong too. I don't know. You'll never know until it happens, but one thing's for sure, you'll know that if you're spending far too much time on TikTok, which is why I deleted the app until April 1st. How much time it takes to do that and what it takes away from what you're doing. And Instagram, they straight up steal your pictures on Instagram. They screenshot it, and then they put you on some best of whatever picture channel, picture account. On your pictures are all over Instagram. I guarantee it. I had a drone when I first started trying to figure out what social media was. I literally had probably 8 or 9 of my drone shots just taken. The guy screenshotted them, put it on his account. I said, well, hey, you're using my pictures. What's the story? So, we're just featuring you on our channel, which, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to sue the guy? You're going to chase him for 6 years? This kid, this 15-year-old kid in Billings, Montana, you're never even going to find out who he is. He's not even an adult. You have to find out who his parents are. It's a nightmare. There's no way. So, Instagram is a bust, and Instagram is dying anyways. And Instagram is not there for that. It really is not there for us as professional photographers. I have 6 or 8 pictures on there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 pictures on there, all pictures of me. So if the pictures get stolen, if they get screenshotted and put under another account, it'll be me, my face, somewhere else. When you go to my TikTok account, and maybe I'm doing this wrong, you don't know until it starts to make results. On my TikTok account, it's all videos of me taking self-portraits. There's one of a lens that I really, truly love. That's it, on gear. There's nothing on softboxes or Sekonic light meters or Adorama or anything like that. There's no paid anything. I barely even talk on any of my videos anymore, which I probably should do. If I do TikTok, I should do some talking on them. But then again, like, I get burned out, and you know, maybe this is just me, but I get burned out so quickly on social media that sometimes I don't even do my podcast. There's probably been 10 occasions in the last 3 years where I can't do another thing for social media. I just can't. And I don't know if this qualifies as social media, but I just, there are days when it's just, I can't do anything else. And if you're not spending 8 to 10 hours a day working on your business, then what are you doing? What are you really doing? And this business, this is not, and going back to my car sale days, there was a switching point for us when selling cars, when you realize that you're not in the business of selling Toyotas. You're not in the business of working for this dealership, Larry Miller Toyota. You're not in that business. You're in the business of you. This is a one-man band. You're in the business of you. You need to build relationships with these people and make appointments. If you don't have any appointments for tomorrow, then your job tomorrow is to make appointments for the next day. And we would make 100 phone calls a day. If you weren't with a customer, you're making 100 dead end, screw me in the butt phone calls every day. And it makes your skin tough. Are you making 100 phone calls a day? Are you knocking on 20 doors a day? Then you're in the wrong business. Because in the end, it is sales. 100%. In the end, it is sales. We are salesmen. We are selling pictures. We are not selling cameras. We're selling pictures. That's what it boils down to. And TikTok is not there to help you do that. TikTok, for the most part, in my limited research, really just doesn't do a whole lot for any business. It's very good for putting up commercials, putting up these little 15-second commercials. Hey, I'm a landscaper, blah, blah, blah. How much time do landscapers spend on TikTok watching other landscapers do tutorials on lawnmower blades? Probably not much, because they are just like us, a one-man band, and they got to get out there and hustle. And when they're out there cutting grass, when those four or five guys that they hired for the day are cutting grass, guess what the owner's doing? He's next door knocking on the door. Hey, my name is so-and-so. I'm a landscaper for your neighbor. Just want to stop in, say hi, introduce myself. Hey, you know, I do one free mow a month. We'd love to do your lawn since we're already here. We could just cut your lawn down real fast. And, you know, if you like it, hire us for the next time. And that's hustle. Making videos for TikTok to sell ad space to make themselves rich is not hustle. That is hustle for TikTok. Are you hustling for TikTok? Or are you hustling for yourself? If you're hustling for yourself, you're on that phone every goddamn day. 100 phone calls a day. You don't always make 100. But you get darn close. You feel me? I would probably max out at like 75, 85. And, you know, then I would just be, my voice would be gone by then. But if you really are going to the point of failure, did you fail? No. Because the next day someone would come in and buy a Toyota Sienna, $67,000 cash. And at that point, I realized that I was in the business of myself. I'm in the business of me. I'm selling me. If you live in New Mexico, there's a guy called Ron Bell. He's a lawyer here in town. He retired a few years ago, but he's still doing commercials for Ron Bell Law Agency. A couple of his lawyers bought the firm out, but they kept his name on the thing, and they kept his face on all the billboards and on the buses. He's on every bus in town. Ron Bell, 1-800-whatever-lawyers. And he's retired. He's been retired for years. He doesn't go to court anymore. He's a local celebrity. But he humped it out. He humped it out. And he put himself out there every day. And he is the number one known lawyer in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is little town, small potatoes. But there is a lawyer in New York doing the exact same thing, that everybody knows his face and his name. Who in your area knows your face and your name as a photographer? That's a rhetorical question. That's an internal question. The next time you swipe up, you should be asking yourself, who here knows my name in town? I'm doing corporate portraits, so if I'm not knocking on doors and talking to receptionists and getting turned away and telling them, oh, he's out of town. Oh, and if I don't hear he's out of town 25 times before I get a meeting with him to tell him how good I am and how much money I'm going to save him and make him because his pictures are shit, then what am I doing with my life? You know what I mean? And that's TikTok's influence on photography. I wouldn't put a lot of stock in it because that's rented land. And that's land that's not even for us. If you're doing videography, if you're a videographer, you should be on there showing what you can do, but also on there to find clients who need videos shot for TikTok to make them look like cheesy, cheap vertical videos that look really well and are very nicely colored, then yeah, that's your land. That's your rented land. But for photographers with still photos, nobody wants us on TikTok. There's no money to be made on TikTok. Maybe for a couple guys, but that's it. But then again, what do I know? I'm just a black guy from New Jersey, you know, living in New Mexico. I tell you one thing. I am, again, very thankful, very grateful that you're here, number one, and that this RV thing is what it is what it turned out to be. You know, when I first, you know, started this thing and I was thinking tiny house, and then the tiny house turned into they take a flatbed trailer and then they build a house on that and you can tow it around. And then it eventually turned into van life. This is back when van life first became a thing. And then I thought, I'm not going to live in a tiny van. I'm going to just buy a giant RV. And I'm very, very grateful that that's the case. This is my second one. And as far as the business is concerned, I don't think the business would have been possible without that decision that I made. I don't think it would have been possible for me to continue this business. Not like this. Not paying $1,000 a month at some apartment building that I'm never going to own. You know, and I am eternally grateful that I got a little desk and a computer monitor and a tablet and an internet connection that is bang on to do this podcast and people who want to listen to me. So thank you for tuning in. I am giving a lot of consideration to the next RV, which will very likely at this point, it looks like it's coming down to, an MCI bus, the Greyhound buses. It turns out that they are a monocoque frame. It's the entire body of those Greyhound buses is a structural element. Now, with an RV, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, whoever builds the motor, the transmission, and whatever running gear, and the frame, and then a coachwork builds all the body around it. And, you know, this RV is 1988, 30 something years old. 32, 33 years old. It is holding up very, very well, but I can see where some of the problems would be with any RV. Water damage, things like that. They take their toll over time. So with an MCI bus, as enormous as it is, and it has way more storage than I'll ever need, I'll be able to get much larger water tanks. But they seem to be far more durable. With a metal skin, you're concerned about rusting, and as long as you're sealing it, you know, it slows that process down. But with this RV, in the back left corner where you fill the freshwater tanks, there is quite a bit of delamination and the wood. You can see if you, like, where I took the bed out and put a new bed in, there's rotten wood in this back corner underneath the window. And there's probably more elsewhere. I've flooded this RV many times. But when I sell it, I'm going to sell it as, you know, a shell with a 30,000-mile, 7-liter Ford motor in it, which is, you know, almost brand new, but still 30-something years old, but with no miles on it, and the rear axle. But I'm taking, you know, all the RV stuff, the refrigerator, the furnace, the water heater, things like that are all coming with me for the next one, whichever one that may be. But the MCI bus seems to be in the lead because it is enormous. It's got a 150-gallon diesel gas tank, and there is a lot to consider with 40 feet, and it's, I think it's 11 or 12 feet tall. It's quite tall. you know, there's a lot to consider there, but it's well insulated. It's insulated enough for what I got to do. And, you know, I'm just going to put a wood burning stove in it, whatever, call it a day, but super nice. You know what I mean? And I get to take all this stuff, you know, with me, and there'll be plenty of storage, because that was a concern too. When I take the refrigerator and the water heater and the sink and everything out of this thing, you know, where do I put it for however long? Where do I go to bathroom? Oh, MCI bus has already got the Greyhound bus has already got a bathroom in the back. So some of the work is already done. They're already wired for AC, for regular 110 home current. You know, some of the work is already done. I'm not doing the thing where you do a $100,000 remodel on some van, excuse me, which is in some sad cases normal. Some of these kids are going into $80,000 worth of debt on a Sprinter van, which is a fucking phenomenal mistake. Those are shit vans. You know, we used them in the funeral industry for however long they were in America, and Dodge was copying them. Those are shit vans with bad motors. The Ford Transits are even worse. The transmissions, I got a video from 10 years ago with that thing creeping along at 30 miles an hour on the highway. Those are nightmare vans. Buy an RV with slides, room, a full shower, a toilet, a black tank, 250 gallons of fresh water, a place to sit down. You know, deal with the parking issues when they come up. It's not a big deal. They ask you to leave, you just go. And that's it. And your LLC owns the truck. The truck is also listed as a photography studio, which it is exactly what it does. And an office for the business. And boom, you're not paying mortgage and rent. You're not paying taxes. You're not paying, you know, taxes on a brick and mortar building that you may lose one day. And it really cuts down on some of the things that kill businesses. A lot of businesses fail in the first year or two. My business would have failed in the first year or two if in 2019, I put down $50,000 on a photography studio. Only 6 months later for the world to shut down and go fucking bananas. I would be crying tears right now and not knowing. I don't know where I'd be right now if I had done that. But I said, I'll pass. We're going to go with the tiny house thing. And that eventually turned into RV van life. And I'm still here. And God willing, I'll be here tomorrow. But in that case, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to me think about the stuff that I'm coming across in after my 30-year internship in photography and the things that I'm discovering and finding out. And you know, I wish I could save every kitten on TikTok, but honestly, some kittens are going to go down with the ship and some of them are going to realize what's going on and spend their time more wisely elsewhere. And you spend your time wisely today. And I thoroughly appreciate you tuning in. You guys have an awesome evening. And I'll talk to you next time.